because we're going to look at this teaching series called Illuminate. For the next number of weeks, it's what we're going to be looking at of Illuminate and different ways that we can be light in the darkness. Shine with the light and with the love of God. And Jerry's talked about some ways we can do that, you know, the Cross DVD and the gospel that's there. Another way that we can do that is to be involved in the open air, the Holy Corner open air nativity, Thursday the 4th of December, 6:30, that's going to take place. Now, you can get tickets for this, but tickets are limited, tickets are free. Okay, but the idea of it is really not just so that the Christians have a knees up with the, you know, with the nativity play, but so that people who haven't heard about how good and how great the Christmas story is get to hear it. That they might receive a revelation, an uncovering, a discovery of who Jesus is. God with us. Okay? So please don't just say, oh, get me a ticket, right? Get you a ticket, but get your friend who doesn't yet know Jesus a ticket and come along to it. Some practical ways that you can help and that you can serve and be a part of bringing this light in the darkness would be that they need some help with perhaps stewarding. They're going to need some help. The idea is that they'll be in various locations outside, beside Charlie Miller's, moving towards the Bank of Scotland, outside Eric Liddell, and then everybody's going to come back here for the final scene. We want to be able to serve them with hospitality. So we're going to look for some folks who will be stewarding inside the church as well. Warmer gig. And also that will be able to serve in the cafe. So if you are interested in that, please come and speak to myself or speak to George Berwick, who's the rather dapper person. Waving at me now with a shirt and tie on, who was welcoming you at the foyer. Somebody actually thought he was a pastor. That's a sign of who the best dressed person is in the church, isn't it? I say, yeah, very, very pastoral is our George, very pastoral indeed. Have you noticed that it's getting darker? Now, I don't just mean because 4 weeks ago that the clocks got changed and that the hour went back. But I mean in our world that it appears that things are getting darker. In our city, things are getting darker. You read of sexual assaults in Leith at knife point. Sexual assault in the south of the city. Sexual assault Friday into Saturday, or earlier as a Saturday morning, but 7 o'clock on Saturday morning down in the meadows. And there is a darkness that's over the city. And church, what are we going to do about it? Because we don't believe that this darkness is right, do we? This spiritual darkness is right. We don't believe that it's the way that it should be and the way that God wants it to be. Do we, church? That's two or three of you. Do we, church? No, so something has to be made different. Light needs to shine in the darkness. Some things we can do. We can pray. Why don't we do that right now? Yeah, we've done lots of prayer, but there's no, you know, the best thing we can do when we find ourselves in situations where we can't do anything about a circumstance is that we pray. Yeah? So, Father, we want to pray for our city right now. Father, we want to pray, Lord, for some of the wickedness that has been going on in our city. Lord, for the attacks on vulnerable people that have been taking place in our city. And, Father, we would want to ask that those attacks would stop. Lord, we want to pray that there would be healing for those who have been attacked. Lord, we want to pray that those that have perpetrated the attacks would be caught. Lord, we want to pray that their hearts would be changed and that they would have an encounter with you. Lord, we just believe that judgment is all comes from you, Lord. And Lord, we just want to pray, Lord, that there would be justice that would happen. Lord, we pray that that person, the people who have committed those acts, Lord, would come under conviction of their sin and that they would turn to you. But Father, that's one element of darkness that's over the city. There are many elements of darkness. And Lord, we want to pray, not with weakness, but Lord, we want to pray with confidence because your light shines in the darkness. And Father, I pray that you would help us as church to shine your light in the darkness, to find ways to do that. Father, we pray and we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. How many of you tuned in yesterday to watch the rugby? How close, but yet so far. Anybody at the game yesterday? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well done. Well done. Should have got your ticket. But at the start, the place was in darkness. And all of a sudden, little lights began to flicker all over. Now, there was a little light show, but people got their mobile phones out. People had the lights shining from their mobile phones, and those little lights made a huge difference in that stadium yesterday. Didn't make a difference to the result, but it made a difference to that moment because light banished the darkness. We were on the bus heading towards Meadowbank for the fireworks display a week or so ago, and noticed that the little Christmas huts were beginning to get put in place in Princes Street. And it reminded me of a couple of years ago that Heather and I went to Berlin to go and see the Christmas markets. It was a significant birthday with a zero at the end of it, and so we kind of treated ourselves, and we went to the Christmas markets. And we got off the plane there and got into the city centre, dumped our bags in the hotel, and it's maybe mid to late afternoon, and it's still daylight, and we thought we're going to make the most of this. You know, we're going to hit the Christmas markets at Rathaus and Alexanderplatz and Potsdamerplatz and all those different places that were there. There were loads of different Christmas markets all around about the city, and it was brilliant. You know, there was something for everyone that was there. There were ornaments, Christmas decorations, there were magnets, there were candles, there were hats, there were gloves, there were watches, there were CDs, there was cakes, pastries, bratwurst. There was so much more in all these different stalls that were around about. If you wanted it, then you could get it. But the thing was that as daylight began to fade, all of a sudden the lights in all of these different little booths and little huts seemed to become lighter and brighter. And the atmosphere of the markets, them all gathered together, the heat, the light, the atmosphere, just became like a market that was like a magnet that was drawing people to them. And, you know, we might think that there's nothing that we can do. We might think that in our life that it's just little old me, but little old me with a great big God. Yeah? And as he invites and encourages us in our life to be illuminated with his love and his light, that we can shine. Now, we might feel as though we're an isolated, like one of those individual booths, and say, well, this is who I am, this is what I've got to offer, the kingdom of God, but that's not for everybody. But if you've got something to offer, and if the next person's got something to offer in Jesus, and the next person's got something to offer in Jesus, then all of a sudden, little lights begin to attract many people. And you might not think that your little light is much, but when you gather it all together of our light, of the light of Jesus that shines out of our hearts and out of our lights, then all of a sudden there's a whole lot of light that's going on, and the light banishes the darkness. It illuminates the darkness. You know, Jesus is Emmanuel, illuminated. He's God with us that is seen. He's God with us that is to be savored. He's God with us that is to be shared, as we've heard today from Jerry and his encouragements to us this morning. Turn with me in your Bible to John chapter 1, and we're going to read all about the light. John chapter 1, we'll read from verse 1 to verse 18. John chapter 1 and verse 1 says this: In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, yet his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not out of natural descent or of human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh, and he made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom it was said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side and who has made him known." Now John, the beloved disciple, he writes this good news gospel probably from Ephesus around about 85 AD. And he writes to reveal Jesus to different groups of people. He's writing to people who aren't just Jewish in their faith, but would be Gentile in their background, and people who would have some faith, people whose lives would be steeped in faith, and people who would be inquiring about spiritual things, about the big questions about life, but who wouldn't call themselves people of faith or followers of Jesus. So John uses different images, and we'll touch on some of those different images over the next couple of weeks. But to the philosophers, he's the Logos. To the Jew, he is the I Am. To the Gentile, he's the Savior of the world, the rescuer and the deliverer from sin. But John wants to present Jesus as the answer to the world's problems. John wants to present Jesus as light in the darkness. John wants to say, and he wants to say through Scripture, that Jesus proves the compassion of God, and that Jesus proves the commitment of God. The passion of God is found in John chapter 3 and verse 16 that says, "For God so loved the world," those scriptures that have been made famous down through the years, and especially through somebody like Dr. Billy Graham, who's preaching that message far more eloquent than I ever could, that talks about God so loving the world that he sent his one and only, his begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. His light banishes the darkness, and his light can banish your darkness, and his light shining through you can help banish other people's darkness and bring them into that light, which is the light of Jesus. The commitment of God to people is also seen. Paul writes in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, he says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, that Christ died for us. The just for the unjust, the godly for the ungodly. So that when we were still far off and far away, Jesus came looking for you. When you were in darkness, the light of the world left heaven, came into this world, and he came looking for you." That's good news. And it doesn't matter how dark you feel your life is or the place that your life is living in or living out of, his light comes to illuminate your life and to banish the darkness. He came not just to shine in the darkness, but to shine his light into your darkness. You see, there is nothing that is too difficult for God, which means your circumstance, your problem, your issue, the things that you face and the obstacles that come against you in life, there is nothing that's too difficult for God. How suffocating the darkness might feel, his light can come and banish it. You know, if you're in a completely dark space and you light even just strike one match, light comes in and the darkness has to go. That's why yesterday, you know, those little mobile phones in Murrayfield were lighting up that stadium. A little light banishes a whole lot of darkness. Now, our job and our joy, our purpose is to live in that light. You know, I'm sure very few of us, if any of us, missed the news headlines this week of the Rosetta satellite and of the rocket that was dispatched to try and land on this comet. You know, like landing a washing machine on some kind of huge, fast-spinning ride, Comet 67P. And it's been years in the planning. It's been months in getting the fine detail just right. But yet, less than a week after it landing on it, all of a sudden they're saying, you know, it's gone into hibernation mode. Why? Because the solar panels that took in the light from the sun have run down, which means it has no power. Can you see where the preacher's going in this? If you aren't receiving the light, if you're not living in the light, then the power that you need to be able to do the thing that you've been planned and purposed for you to do in your life and with your life, and that is live for Jesus and shine for him, then you're not going to be able to do that. In the same way that this satellite needed to be in the presence of the sun, S-U-N, then our lives need to be around about the orbit of the S-O-N of God to receive his light, to receive his power, to charge our batterings, to enable us to live for him. He does not want you in hibernation. In fact, that's one of the songs that Fiona was singing this morning was Awake. Scripture says, awake, O sleeper, doesn't he? And rise, the rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Wake up. We need to be in the orbit of the sun so that his light, the light of the Son of God, will empower us. John uses different images to describe the light of the world, to describe King Jesus. He uses the word, or the logos, in verses 1 and verse 2, speaking about the essence of God's revelation. Revelation meaning the uncovering, the unveiling, the display, God showing himself for who he is. It wasn't just an action, but it was in a person. In the beginning, echoes back to Genesis chapter 1 and presents Jesus as being uncreated and eternal, that he was with God and that he was God. The same essence, same substance. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 1, verse 6, one of the titles of Messiah, in a couple of weeks, you know, when we get all Christmassy and festive, if the high street hasn't turned us off that, when we get all Christmassy and festive, one of the scriptures that we will look at, no doubt, will be Isaiah chapter 9. And Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 speaks of the titles of Messiah. And one of the titles that's given to Messiah is that he is the everlasting Father. Eternal. See, before your pain, before your sin, before your loss, before your problem, before your circumstance, before your sickness, before anything, Jesus was. And the challenge for us is to give him our past with all the baggage that comes from it. But you know what? That's why he died on the cross, to forgive us our past. To surrender our present, to come and say, Jesus, my life is not my own, my life is yours. Because Jesus, you died so that I might live. And Jesus, you said, if anyone would come after me, you need to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. It's no longer I who lives, but it's Christ who lives in me, the Bible says. We surrender our present, and you know what? We trust him for our future. Because even if we're taking steps into places that we think that looks like a dark place, we go to shine his love. We go to shine the light of Jesus, the light of the world, into that place. To let other people know that there is hope, that they don't need to feel destroyed, suffocated by the darkness, but there is hope. Light has come into the world, and his name is Jesus. And Jesus was before all time. He was standing outside of all time. Yet the Word became flesh and he dwelt amongst us, as verse 14 says. Jesus stepped into time. Jesus stepped into a womb. Jesus stepped into the manger. Jesus hung on a cross. Jesus was laid in a tomb. Jesus is living in heaven right now. Jesus, by his Holy Spirit, is in your life. Think about it. Jesus, the antidote to the virus of sin that invaded the world in the Garden of Eden, he left the spiritually clean and holy environment of heaven for the filth and darkness of a stable. But more importantly, for the filth and for the darkness of a sin-infested planet, of our lives, so that we could be made clean, so that we could be made pure, so that we could be made holy, so that we didn't need to live in darkness, but we could shine with the light and with the love of Jesus. You see, the light illuminates the darkness. Let me ask you a wee question. Who loves camping? Yeah. Oh, plenty of hands going up amongst friends. When was the last time you went camping? For me, it was in July. Some folks are like, oh, no. Oh, no. Well, I've got news for you. Do you know Jesus was into camping? Jesus was into camping. Verse 14 says that Jesus went camping. Let's read it. The Word became flesh, and he made his dwelling among us. You say, Gordon, there's no mention of a van gogh there. There's no mention of a tent, whether it be two berth, six berth, or whatever. Not even a hint of a caravan that's there. But do you know what? Christ went camping. Now, it's not so much a savior in a sleeping bag, but it's more divinity dwelling with man. See, the word that's there says that he dwelt. He made his dwelling among us. Means tabernacled. Would be the way that it was described in Hebrew, the same word that would be there. And what's a tabernacle? Well, a tabernacle is a tent. In particular, in the Old Testament, we read about the tabernacle as being the tent that was set up, that was a place of the presence of God, that where it was talking about God coming and dwelling among his people. That God set up home and God set up camp amongst his people. And here in verse 14, we said that the revelation of God to man, the essence of God, Emmanuel illuminated, came and he dwelt amongst us. It's the presence of God that is among his people. It's God come down and resting and staying a while, camping out with his people. Now, we know the tabernacle in the Old Testament was then superseded by the temple that was there. King David planned it. Solomon built it. Lord dedicated it. And that temple was then, you know, the rebuilt temple that was there in Jerusalem at the time of Jesus, the place of the presence of God. But we know also from the reading of Scripture and what happened on that day when Jesus hung and bled and died on the cross, taking upon himself the sin of the world. We know what happened there was that as Jesus cried out those words, it is finished, that what happened was that the veil in the temple was torn in two, and it symbolized the explosion of the presence of God out into the world and out into the community, that God became touchable to you and to I. And finally, Paul speaks in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16 about a believer's body being the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, just in case you and I are in any doubt as to who and to what the identity of the Word is, John, the same beloved disciple that wrote this gospel, some 10 years later finds himself on a little craggy island rock because he's been put there, he's been exiled there, because he won't be quiet about Jesus. And he has got a vision or a revelation of the end of days. And in Revelation chapter 19, verses 13 to 16, he's got this vision of heaven's champion. He's got a vision of the warrior Messiah king riding out of the out ahead of the armies of heaven. In Revelation 19 and verse 13, it says this. He's dressed in a robe dripped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding in a white horse and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth comes a sharp sword, which he will strike down the nations. He'll rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of Almighty God. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This Word that has become flesh, this light of the world, this King of Kings and Lord of Lords, his name is Jesus. He's a savior of the world, and he wants to be your friend. He wants his light to light up your darkness. You see, folks, the Logos is living, the Logos is light, and the Logos is Lord. I just want to ask, have you seen his glory? Have you seen his glory? Have you beheld His glory, the light, the power, the majesty, the presence of God. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling amongst us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Have you seen His glory? In one of the churches that we were involved in and that we led, we'd often have somebody who came to the church and she said, "Oh, I pray to the baby Jesus." And while that was nice and good, when you actually began to unpack it, what that person was doing was she was praying to God come down. She wasn't praying to the Savior of the world. She wasn't praying to the crucified Christ. She hadn't had a vision, a revelation of the glory of God and of the nail-pierced hands and the thorn-crowned brow of Jesus. She hadn't had an encounter yet with the power of the blood of Jesus that washes your sin and your stain and your shame and your pain away. But she had the baby Jesus, almost the goldfish bowl of Jesus. Have you seen Him more than as a baby in the manger? More than an image on the Christmas card? See, the shepherd and the kings, they saw His glory and they were transformed, that they had a story to tell. They had the light of Jesus which shone within them, which meant they went and they expressed that to other people that they found. Have you experienced His glory in your life? The presence of God resting upon your life. God with you in all of His godness shining through you. In the Old Testament, the word to describe the glory of God was a word called, in Hebrew, called Shekinah. The notion of God resting upon or dwelling upon those on whom the favor of God rested. An idea that Pastor John Glass spoke last weekend of the mantle that rested on from Elijah onto Elisha. The sense of the presence and the empowering of God that rested on. In the same sense, in the Old Testament, it talked about the glory of God coming. It rested on people for that purpose. It dwelt upon or tabernacled on people for the purpose of shining with the glory of God. In the New Testament, the Greek word that used to describe glory is a word called doxa, which talks about weight, talks about authority. Gold was weighed in those kind of terms, in those kind of classes. Talks about the purity, talks about the power, talks about the authority of God. And have you beheld, have you experienced the glory of God resting on your life, transforming your life, bringing His presence, bringing His power, bringing the weight of His authority into your life and into your situations? That's the invitation from God to you today. See, this light of the world was with God in the beginning. He is with you right now. His light shines through us into the darkness of our world that we live in. And He wants to equip you for the environment that you live in every single moment of every single day. As you put your trust, as you put your faith in Him, He will be with you during this week. You are not alone. God's gift isn't just for the person sitting next to you. God's gift is for you. What will you do? What will you do with God's gift? The light of the world that wants to shine in your darkness before it can shine through you into the darkness. And the light isn't just a natural light, it's a supernatural light. It's the light of the glory of God that wants to rest upon your life, making you different. Let's bow our heads. Let's